welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, Memorial Day is a time to reflect and honor those veterans who paid the ultimate price with their life to protect our rights. Today, we have a special rebroadcast regarding Veterans Court, which is designed to help veterans with issues in the law, you know, that get them in trouble and get them help they badly need. On this broadcast, we're very pleased to have the Honorable Judge Edward Merrigan, who is an 18-year veteran with the rank of colonel in the Army. He's now retired. Featuring legal panel host Gary Singer and former legal panel host Charles Moorhead, who at the time was president-elect of the Broward Bar. Also with the head of the Broward County Public Defender's Office, Howard Finkelstein, who our listeners may know as Help Me Howard on Channel 7 News. Now let's start the program and have a great and safe Memorial Day. And first of all, I'd like to say good evening, Howard Finkelstein.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and thank you for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time. You're now becoming my new best friend. You were on a couple weeks ago. But, Howard, when you heard he was on, you really wanted to be here, but you couldn't make it. But you did make a statement to Giovanni Lopez, who was our senior producer. He said, listen, this judge is so humble. You guys got to pat him on the back. And that's when I called, had him call you back and said, well, Howard, we agree, and we're going to give you that opportunity. So why don't you take it away, Howard?
Thank you very much. And first of all, it's a very rare thing I do, praising judges generally. but this is, and he is a very humble man, and it's very important to understand specialty courts, whether they be drug courts or mental health courts, are largely personality driven. And it's because of the very unique character and bearing of this man, Judge Merrigan, that my clients really revere him. Because of how he carries himself, what he's done with his life, it's not only that they want to please him, they want to be him. And it's really largely because of who he is that Broward's Vet Court works as well as it does. Because all veteran courts aren't equal, but all are very important. And I'm going to leave that part to Judge Merrigan. But the only note that I wanted to say is the reason people like Judge Merrigan are so important is my clients who have served, especially in war zones, this is a very different situation. I was here during Vietnam, and I was representing the Vietnam vets that came back. And even though it was a different animal, because this is a volunteer army, these guys are serving sometimes 3 and 4 and even more than that tours of duty. And back then, nobody knew what post-traumatic stress syndrome was. They called it shell shock. Well, now we understand very well what it is. But when you have young men serving that many tours of duty, seeing the damage from IEDs and other horrible things that happened in warfare, when they come back, it takes years for them to unravel. In the beginning, it's maybe they're drinking too much, and then maybe they lose their job, and maybe then their temper gets out of control, and then maybe they get into a pushing match with their wife. Then they're in the criminal justice system. So my point is, people like Judge Merrigan are so important, not just today, but for at least the decade to come, because our vets returning home are going to be carrying a lot of damage and a lot of scars, and we really don't want to then punish them because of the PTSD they suffered fighting for us. We bring them back here, and the next thing you know, we prosecute and put them in jail. I think Judge Merrigan is going to save hundreds and hundreds of people's lives, and it's the people who gave their lives for us. So,
absolutely.
I wanted your people who are listening to know that, because Judge Merrigan is an officer and a gentleman, and that's why our court is so effective.
Yes, he is. He's actually Lieutenant Colonel.
Full colonel.
Full colonel.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
Cool word. Get it right now.
Thank you, Howard. I appreciate those kind words.
Always my pleasure.
Well, you know, we had part of the greatest generation ever was, we had a veteran who was 19, 70 years ago. He's 89 now, who was on the USS Missouri when they, 70 years ago, when they surrendered, you know, Japan surrendered. He was there with MacArthur and so forth. And recently I spoke with him about the issues that we're going to be talking about. And in his day, it was battle fatigue. And he talked about, well, you remember that thing with Patton when he slapped that soldier and so forth. And that's why I don't think it was very prevalent back then or you know, really started to come out in the Vietnam Korean War and then the Vietnam War. And then most recently, I guess we became very efficient at blowing people up. And to see that, I know that, Judge, when we talked, you had people shooting at you, and you had bombs going and mortars by you.
Correct.
So you weren't behind the lines. You were right there, as Chris Royer, who we're going to be speaking with shortly as well. Howard, we appreciate you coming on, and do you want to hang out for the program? I know that this was something that you made happen.
Now, I want you guys to continue. Please let the whole community know about the important work that Judge American's doing, and let's support our troops, not just there, but when they come home, too.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And, Howard, I look forward to seeing you sometime soon.
Thanks, Howard.
You got it. Have a good night, guys.
Good night.
You know, Gary Singer, who is also a veteran, although I joke with him because it was the Coast Guard, but still a vital service as well. And Gary was actually instrumental, was a key instrument in getting us involved with this as well. Gary also volunteers his time with Coast to Coast. And Coast to Coast Public Legal Aid, they also help get veterans their services too, as you know, Judge.
Correct. The Mission United and the United Way mm-hmm. and Legal Aid of Broward County is a great program where they get legal services for local veterans.
Now, when they have to be discharged, and one of the reasons why I asked Chris Royer, and Chris, you are a colonel, right?
Retired, yes.
Retired colonel. Okay, just want to be sure that you get the lieutenant out of the way. But you were in Iraq at the same time the judge was serving in the armed forces. Is that correct?
I think Judge Merrick and I may have actually crossed paths. We certainly know a lot of the same people and a lot of the same units that were there.
I know in this week the horrible bombing in Iraq that happened and just devastating. They say it was like a small nuclear bomb. That's how big it was. And you shared with me you were in that area.
Yep. And Judge Merrick and I talked about it. Those are operational areas that both of our division forces had control over. And Judge Merrick, boots on the ground there. I was there a couple times, but on JAG missions for witness issues. I think he was doing the civil affairs piece.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I want to separate. First of all, the JAG issues, because they were criminal issues that you were dealing with, correct?
Criminal issues to a degree. Mm-hmm. We were prosecuting, in that particular case, American soldiers, and we were looking for Iraqi witnesses.
Was there a program set up for those soldiers that are still serving that had issues, possibly substance abuse or legal issues like that, any criminal issues?
Well, as Judge Merrigan knows and most Americans know, the U.S. Armed Forces have tremendous support services for the military within the military. So mm-hmm. there's vast assets that have been dedicated to handle those type of issues as far as substance abuse issues and PTSD issues. Of all sorts, for the people who are still in the forces. So as long as they're in government control,
right.
There's a large infrastructure for them. I think the thing that's so unique about Judge Merrick's initiative is we're talking about people who have left the formal structure of the military.
Right.
They're out here in greater South Florida, and they need that safety net.
What is the mission of the Veterans Court, Judge?
Basically, the way the Veterans Court is set up is any honorably discharged veteran who is charged with a misdemeanor or a felony in the 17th Judicial Circuit, which encompasses Broward County, is eligible, as long as they're not being charged with one of 16 forcible felonies, to participate in the program. And basically the way the program works is that once they go through the first appearance court and then are assigned to a division, they can elect to come into the Veterans Court, and once they're in there, they waive their speedy trial requirements, and they're interviewed by the VA, and they get their treatment through the VA. So whether it's substance abuse, PTSD, mental health issues, then they start a course of treatment, and then over a period, we usually look for a minimum of about 12 months for misdemeanor charges and a minimum of about 18 months for felony charges. And if they're successfully participating and completing the programs, the charges against them will be dismissed.
Wow. What percentage of the veterans that you see have some sort of a dependency or other issue that you think needs care?
Well, it's one of the requirements to participate in the program. So pretty much all of them, because what they're doing is they're getting treatment for these problems, whether it's, as I said earlier, the PTSD or the TBI, or it's the mental health issues that they have.
Are there dedicated public defenders for this court?
Well, it's interesting, and I want to take a second to, you know, because of the nice things that Howard Finkelstein had said about me and about the court. I'm kind of the guy that drives the bus. You know, I'm the person that sits up in front of the courtroom behind the bench. But there are many stakeholders in the Veterans Court, to include the Public Defender's Office and Howard Finkelstein and Mike Satz and the State Attorney's Office, the Clerk's Office, Court Administration, the Broward Sheriff's Office, and all of these stakeholders, to include the judges, all came together to create this court. And everybody has bought in. You know, when we were talking to Howard Finkelstein, Owen McNamee, who's a Chief Assistant Public Defender, is in my courtroom as one of the public defenders. Dennis Alsbury, who's a senior state attorney, is my prosecutor in the Veterans Court. And, you know, the sheriff's office has been leaning forward in the foxhole to collect the data. They actually track how many veterans that they have in the jails and are arrested, you know, and that doesn't happen in a lot of jurisdictions. And it's through the efforts of all these people, to include the clerk and court administration, the state attorney, the public defender, the judges. It's through the effort of everybody, and of course the VA, that it's successful. I'm kind of the face on it, and I'm the guy that kind of drives the bus, but it's the buy-in from all these stakeholders that's made it so successful.
Well, what I like is how you were actually chosen, but we're going to take a quick break here, but we have to station identification. Okay. You're listening to Legal News and Review, and we're going to be talking about the Veterans Court. This is a great program, and, you know, Judge, you didn't curse the darkness, you lit a match, and this is making a positive change, and we're going to talk about how that is and how cost-effective it is and about getting the benefits to these people from the Veterans Administration. This is a great program. You got to stay tuned and heard this. This is fantastic. We're with Judge Merrigan, and I do want to make a clarification. Actually, I'm going to let Charles make a clarification on the judge.
I just wanted to point out that Judge Merrigan was promoted to the circuit court about a year and 4 or 5 months ago, and we were very grateful to have him.
Very good. Okay. Well, you know, Judge, it's an interesting story of how you've taken, the lead on this. And there is privilege among rank.
Yes.
So I'd like you to tell our audience this story.
Well, Judge Weinstein, and again, you know, when you're talking about stakeholders, I think Judge Weinstein was actually the person that got all those stakeholders in the same room and got them to buy off on the program and drafted the administrative order. So he was one of the biggest forces behind the creation of the Veterans Court.
And also a veteran.
And also a veteran. Judge Weinstein. We have about 10 judges that are veterans. Judge Weinstein is an Army veteran. Judge Williams is an Air Force veteran. Judge Usan is an Air Force veteran. Judge Destry is an Air Force veteran. Judge Fry is a Marine. Judge Joe Murphy is a Marine. Judge Rothschild is an Army veteran. Judge Hurley is a Navy veteran. I know I'm forgetting somebody, and they're going to be mad at me.
Judge Gates,
who is the most highly decorated of all the judges. Gates was awarded the Navy Cross in Vietnam and a Purple Heart. Yeah. So Judge Gates is a wonderful judge. And myself, and when we were talking about, and I was involved with Judge Weinstein and Mr. Finkelstein and Mr. Satz and all the people trying to get this started, and Judge Weinstein said, you know, we got a bunch of veterans here, but of all the veterans, you're the most senior ranking, so you're in charge.
That's great.
So
was that when you were a lieutenant colonel, or was that when you were a major?
I was a lieutenant colonel at the time. So, yeah. So I said, yeah, roger that, and we moved out sharply.
That's
so
great.
And it's been very, very, you know, everybody talks about the good things that it does for the veterans, and we've been doing some really, really good things for the veterans. But it's a two-way street. It's been very, very good for me as well. It's helped me a lot in understanding, you know, special defendants and defendants with special issues, and it's helped me grow as a judge. So it's certainly been a learning experience for me as well.
How does the recidivism rate factor compared to a regular division?
Well, I have a regular criminal division with anything from a third-degree felony to first-degree capital cases.
Yes, sir.
And in in my regular division, the recidivism rate is unusually high. It's probably between 40% and 50%, which is unfortunate. But in the Veterans Court, our recidivism is under 3%.
Three?
Yeah. So it's huge. The folks that are getting in with the program and understanding and getting the help that they need, it's a metamorphosis when you see these guys when they start in there originally, and then by the time, you know, 18 months rolls around, they're clear-eyed, you know, they're back on their feet, they're making, reconnecting with their families, they're getting employed. It's huge. And, you know, the programs that are offered through the VA, which are all the therapeutic programs that we use are through the VA, are fantastic. So it, you know, they really help these guys, whether it's mental health or substance abuse, and it really helps these guys get their lives back together and really turns them around.
Makes me think we should try and do the same thing for everybody eventually if we can, if we have the resources.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, I think that's, that would be the discussion for another night. And, right. You know, but, there's plenty of, information or data out there, you know, looking at, you know, the prison system versus therapeutic systems and, you know.
Well, that's just it. It's an alternative.
Yeah, sorry, Phil. This is Gary, actually. And as a vet, I remember when I went into service and, you know, you have a whole world you grew up in and you go into service and it changes you greatly. You go through some very, very intense experiences and you see things that your civilians back home have never seen. And then your time in the service is over and you're back home and it's like going into a time warp, like the whole world just paused and your friends, your family, they're all doing the very same things they were doing when you left just those years ago. But your whole experience has changed so much. It's a startling adjustment. And there's really, at least when I got out of the service, there was nothing that eases you back into it. And what a program like this does is it gives the veterans who just have not been given the resources to handle that change an opportunity to get their life in order, to adjust and become, you know, part of the society they left before, and gives them that help. And that's why the recidivism is so low, I believe, is because it's just giving them the chance to get back into society without that startling shift. What do you think about that, Judge?
You know, I think that's a good point. The people that are participating in the program are looking for help, and when they're kind of given that lifeline and given that help, they respond affirmatively. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is we have this kind of the same history, you know, whether you were in the Coast Guard or the Navy, Air Force, Army, or Marine Corps, you know, you were in a uniform service and you kind of understand the mindset and the lifestyle, and they respond appropriately. So I think
think personally, because of the traditional court setting, this changes the whole field, because you offer intensive probation supervision, counseling, peer mentoring, random drug and alcohol testing, but medication monitoring, but also the social services. And I think that is the key there as well. They're not alone, that they are monitored and held accountable, just like if my mom and dad was alive.
Right. Well, you know, we have Impact Broward attends every one of our hearings, and they have veteran mentors that are volunteers. They're fellow veterans, and they're assigned to different cases. Not every case, but on a case-by-case basis, they're assigned as kind of a sponsor for the veteran in the court system. And, you know, it's somebody that they can call or help out, or maybe they can give the guy a ride to an appointment. So they've been another one of our stakeholders that's been very important to the success.
But how possibly do you, I mean, there's so many veterans that go into the system that get arrested for maybe simple marijuana possession or things along those lines, or disorderly conduct, being intoxicated in public. But how's it maneuvered to find out if they're veterans or not before they go into the main system?
Right, and that's what I referenced earlier when we were talking about how forward-leaning the sheriff's office was. They have a liaison officer in the jail that tracks the number of veterans that are actually incarcerated in a Broward County jail, and as part of their intake sheet, they check off whether or not the person is a veteran. Once they request to come to my division, they come in and then we screen them. I give them a screen. Initially when they come in, I ask them, you know, what service they served in and what branch, what they did, whether or not they deployed, you know, the years of service. And I have yet to get any, you know, Walter Mitty type people show up and try to, you know, pull one over on it. I think they know better. You know,
right.
Judge Merrigan's a colonel. He's going to, you know, he's going to know, you know, whether or not you're trying to pull the wool over his eyes. So,
I had a question to follow up on that,
yeah.
Judge, Your Honor. Stolen valor has become a epidemic in our country. And that was one of my questions is, to get VA benefits, you have to have VA approval. The VA goes by the National Personnel Record Center. They're not going to just accept someone into their system unless they've verified the adequate discharge. And in the VA, you could have an honorable, other than honorable, general, all those types. Do you have any sort of link to the VA to actually do a confirmation so even though it hasn't happened, there's not going to be stolen valor attempts? Because the word could get around that this Veterans Court is a good gig, and they may come in and make false representations, maybe just not of their veteran status, but maybe embellishing.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's a great question. What we do is every time I run my docket every Monday at 1:30, and it's in my same criminal courtroom in the Broward County Courthouse, I have a VJO, which is a veterans coordinator from the VA. She's a PhD psychologist, is in every time we run the docket, she's there with usually three assistants, and she's hooked up by computer directly to the VA. And, you know, one of the entryways into the Veterans Court is a document called a DD-214, which is your basic discharge document from any of the armed forces. And it identifies the veteran. It identifies the characterization of service. And so not only can we get, you know, to verify whether or not the person is a veteran that's entitled to the benefits through the VA, but a lot of times they'll already be in the system because they received some type of you know, medical care through the VA. So yeah, it's a great question. But I have Dr. Delgado and Dr. Levy are the two psychologists VJOs that are assigned to my courtroom.
What's your average caseload?
I currently have about 280 cases in Veterans Court right now.
Okay.
So, and that's felony and misdemeanor. And every Monday, I probably have anywhere from 50 to 70 hearings. So I hear cases. And, you know, when they first come in, I make sure they're eligible. Then I reset them 30 days. They come back. And that gives the VA an opportunity to interview them, screen them, and then assess and set the consults. And then when they come back in 30 days, we kind of figure out whether it's substance abuse or mental health or dual diagnosis. And they could kind of – and I also get a report back from the VA. Hey, they missed this appointment, but they remade it up. You know, it's rescheduled. And so once I'm comfortable that they're on board with the program, I'll set the hearing days out further. So if they come back in 30 days and everything's copacetic, I'll set it out 90 days.
Yeah.
And they come back then, I'll set it out 120 days. So, but that's, you know, that's pretty much how we work out.
What a great program.
Thank you.
Now, I see these people holding the signs on the road, you know, veteran, homeless, anything helps. And I wonder how many of them are real veterans or as Chris Royer was saying, are trying to steal the valor, if you will. But do you find that there's a correlation that a lot of veterans that come through you, through this court, do not just the substance abuse but the mental issues, that are homeless as well?
Yeah, and that's a great point. One of the good things about this program is that we're getting people hooked up with the Veterans Administration that may not have been hooked up with them before. And in addition to the physical medical, like physicals, and some of them may need surgery or have broken bones or other ailments, they can get that type of treatment through the VA because we've hooked them up through the Veterans Court. But they also have social services. They have HUD-VASH, which is their housing program. They have bus passes so these guys can get around. There's job training. There's all kinds of stuff that they're going to be exposed to through their association with the Veterans Court and us linking them up with the Veterans Administration.
We are going to be having to take a break of station identification coming up. But this is modeled after drug court programs that were originally founded here in Miami during the 1980s, according to our research as well. Is this a standard court procedure coast to coast now, because they have them in California and they now have them in New York?
You know, they're gaining in popularity. I think throughout the state of Florida, there's probably maybe five or six jurisdictions that have a dedicated veterans court. Mm-hmm. And it's growing in popularity. You know, there's still some resistance to it in some areas, but I think it's something that's catching on. It's a, you know, it's an alternative or treatment type court.
Well, let's say somebody didn't go through this process but was a veteran and they got in trouble. They did their time and they went out and maybe they broke their probation or they did something stupid again. Can they then go into your program, even though they were already adjudicated another program, but now here's something fresh?
Yes. Okay. We have a post-adjudicatory program where if they're on probation and they violate probation and they come back in front of the division judge for the VOP or the violation probation hearing, we'll take them back. And because it's a good thing, I'll monitor them. The probation department will monitor them, and the VA will monitor them.
I'm going to make a quick comment. We had Dale Miller from the Public Defender's sure. Office, great guy, and one of the issues that he complains about is a lot of the court cases, it has to do about probation violation. You are listening to Legal News and Review. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, along with host Charles Moorhead, as well as Gary Singer.
Phil, I think we're out of time now. So,
yeah.
And as always, folks out there, be safe and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.